Hello, this is Pastor Rob Barber of Bethel Church in Tupper Springs, Ohio, where our mission is connecting people to God. I'm very excited to share the Word of God with you today because I believe God's Word is a powerful weapon designed by the Father to set the captives free. I trust the Holy Spirit will anoint this message and it will personally minister to you and set you free. God bless and enjoy this message. Romans 10:17 says tells us that faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. You know, and what Pastor Eddie was talking about is that we need to get our mind on the things of God and the Word of God and trust the Word of God without and stop looking at all the negative and the nasty stuff that's going on in our world. And there's a lot of it. There's no doubt about it. But we all recognize, everyone in here knows this scripture. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And that's how we're going to walk. We're going to walk recognizing that we have the greater one in us. We're going to trust his word. We're going to put our faith in his word. Sometimes things just don't happen the way we want them to happen. This world's not going in the direction that we would like for it to go. Sometimes maybe that's because we're not operating in the Word of God like we're supposed to be operating. Amen? Yeah? Okay. Well, this, as I said, I'm going to share some scripture this morning. I normally would have an outline. Well, before I say anything else, I'd like to let everybody know, Pastor Otis is under the weather. Thank Andy for standing in and our worship team for doing what they did this morning for us. Praise God. Pray for Pastor Otis, quick recovery. He did test positive for COVID. So just pray for him. He said it just felt, his symptoms as of last night, it felt like he had a bad cold. And I understand that's, a lot of people have that mild symptoms. And I say mild, you know, a cold is nasty. And when you have a bad one, it makes you feel miserable. But as we know, it could be a lot worse. We've experienced that as well. So we understand. So continue to pray for Pastor Otis. So, but as I'm talking about the Word of God this morning, and I'm going to be sharing some things, some scriptures with you. I normally have an outline. I have points, and with Tammy's help and our media team, I'm able to pull this thing off and have it pretty well organized. I'm not the most organized person in the world. But thank God we have a great team. So this morning, I don't have that. I have scripture that I believe that God wanted me to read this morning, share with everybody, and it's scripture to build our faith in regards to healing, wholeness, physical healing. When I talk about healing, I'm talking about physical healing. I'm talking about emotional healing. I'm talking about spiritual healing. Sometimes all these areas of our life, at one time or another, every one of us experiences a time when we need one of those three things in our life. Healing from God's Word. And His Word is powerful when we put our trust in His Word. Susie, would you like to come up and share with us this morning? She has something she'd like to share.
Some of you know that I was in the hospital this last week. We went on vacation, and I went swimming with my girls and with Kenny literally for 20 minutes and ended up with a blood infection. And so I ended up in the hospital with that. I've been on some IV antibiotics and things this week. Many of you know the journey that my family has been on with renal failure and dialysis and this nasty disease called calciphylaxis that a little over 2 years ago they told me that I had, and I had about 6 to 10 months to get my affairs in order because it's a terminal illness. I've tried a couple times at 2 or 3 different places to get on a transplant list, and I've tried to get a kidney transplant, and I've just been on this journey. And a lot of you, I just don't even know what we would do without your prayers and your encouragement to my family. Anytime, day or night, that we ask for prayer, you pray. And this has been a tough week. It's been a tough week emotionally for me, spiritually for my husband. It's been that way also. But, you know, I started talking to God this week. And I came to Connect Wednesday night. I really didn't want to, but I did anyway. And then later that night, I started talking to God, and he's been talking to me all week. But basically, God gave me a revelation this week, and I want to share it with you, but I also want to confess to you that I have been perishing for lack of knowledge that I forgot I had. The Word of God has been ingrained in me since I was a small child, and it's very easy to get up and say, I don't feel good today, or to say, I gotta do dialysis again. I sit in my home in front of my family and I stick 15 gauge needles in my arm, and my blood comes out and cleans and goes back in, and I tell God how tired I am of it and how I don't want that battle anymore, and how I desperately long to be active, bringing his kingdom here to earth. But God showed me this week that he gave me a vessel to dwell in, and I am his creation. And for a long time, pretty much my whole life, I have hated that vessel. I've talked terrible about it. I've sized it up against other people, measured it. I've always said that it wasn't good enough, and I've confessed death and curses over my body. And this week, God told me, he said, listen, kid, I've given you all the tools, but you got to pick them up and use them. So I know sometimes we go on journeys and we have disappointments in this life. Andy come and pick me up from the hospital because Kenny was working nights. And I was struggling, and he was ministering to me on the way down the road. And I said, you know, I know that God can do these things. It says to ask, though, in his name, and we'll receive it. And Andy said, but it also says, in this world there will be trials. But take heart, because I have overcome the world. And God is a sovereign God. He's a very sovereign God. So I have entered a new war. And this war is not just with the enemy, it's the war with myself. Where God has given me his word. He said that he will restore the health of my youth. He said that he'll be marrow to my bones. He said that his blood flows through me. He said all of those things, and those are the things I have to say. Those are the things. We are perishing in this world because lack of knowledge, and lack of knowledge that some of us have already had. And it's laying on our end tables. It's piping through our radios. It's coming here on Sunday morning. we have his word as our warfare and our weapon, and I'm excited that Pastor's going to bring that forward this morning, because I really feel there is some anointed healing that's coming to this house. And I'm telling you, I'm going to be one of them.
Wow. Yeah, thank you. Appreciate that. I'm sorry.
One second one.
Yes, I need one for my Bible. Thanks. All right. So you've already heard some really good sermons this morning from Pastor Eddie and Susie. Every time I say her name, I want to say Pastor Susie, because that's who she is to us. She was always our youth pastor, of course. So she's Pastor Susie, and she always will be. But you heard not just their opinion, but you heard the word. And it's really important that we get the word of God inside of us. So this week, as I was praying and preparing, I was about to prepare to continue with the message, our spiritual warfare message in regards to the armor. I'm going to pick up where we left off last week. And I just felt that the Holy Spirit said, no, this is what I want you to do. And of course, we've been praying, doing some fasting and praying for Susie. And I really felt like the Holy Spirit just said, I want you to take these healing scripture and read them to the people. And one thing that I know for sure, you know, I'm going to share probably a few things as I go through this, but one thing that I know for sure, you do not need my commentary on the Word of God. It's alive. It's quick. It's powerful. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. So I'm going to do my best just to read these scripture. There may be some time that I need to insert some things here as we go through it. But Christy is going to have the scripture on the screen, ones that I'm going to be reading. Individual scriptures are going to come up. The ones that where it's several verses in a book, it's just going to come up the scripture verse, the chapter, and the verses, so that you can write that down. I'll try to give you time to, if you want to turn there, you have a device or something that you're working with, that you can get there quickly. You can read this, but most important, I ask that you not just be flipping through your Bible or looking through your device. If you can do it quickly, that's fine. But when I start reading, I want you to listen. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God. Listen to the Word of God, because it's going to set you free this morning. It's going to deliver you. It's going to heal you. It's going to direct you. It's going to give you all that you need. It's the Word. It's powerful. It's real. It's alive. It's Jesus. That's what it is. He was Word in the flesh. It's Jesus. Let's start. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease among the people. Luke chapter 4, verse 40. When the sun was setting, all those who had any that were sick with various diseases brought them to him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. Every one of them and healed them. Now we're going to go to Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. Mark chapter 1, verse 29 through 34. Now, as soon as they had come out of the synagogue, they entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. But Simon's wife's mother lay sick with a fever, and they told him about her at once. So he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up, and immediately the fever left her, and she served them. At evening, when the sun had set, they brought to him all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. Then he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons, and he did not allow the demons to speak because they knew him. We're going to be looking at John chapter 9, verse 1 through 9. Right now, we're going to read that. Now, one of the things I will make a comment on these scriptures that I just read, you notice that Jesus performed these miracles. Jesus, because of the power that was in him, the Holy Spirit that was in him, the same Holy Spirit that is in us, he operated by faith and he healed these people. One of the things I want to point out to you is somebody has to have faith to see a healing, to see miracles, to see the power of God. Sometimes it's the individual that's speaking and sharing, the minister. You who are ministering to somebody else, sometimes your faith is sufficient. But what we're going to find out as we read this, other times the individual had to have some faith. John 9, 1 through 9. Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind with birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God would be revealed in him. I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had said these things, he spat on the ground, made clay with saliva, and he anointed the eyes of the blind man with clay. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is translated sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. Therefore the neighbors and those who previously had seen that he was blind said, is not this he who sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. He said, I am he. This is a crazy story. If you read on, this man, it was obvious to everybody. That was the guy. But someone would say, nah, it can't be him. The reality is that when a person does not want to believe in the miraculous power of God, they're going to make all kinds of excuses. This story gets funnier. I think I'm going to look at that because I want you to see the rest of this. John chapter 9. It gets more ridiculous as it goes along. He answered and said, a man called Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and I received sight. That was beginning in verse 10. Then they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought him who formerly was blind to the Pharisees. Now it was Sabbath when Jesus made the clay and opened his eyes. Then the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Over and over they're asking him the same question. Then the Pharisees also asked him, verse 16, therefore some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. Others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things, such signs? And there was a division among them. They said to the blind man again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born? Born blind, how then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, We know that this is our son and that he was born blind. But by what means he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. He is of age. Ask him. He will speak for himself. And it goes on to say, talk about the fact that they were concerned that they were going to be thrown out of the synagogue. They were devout Jews. They're going to be thrown out of the synagogue because they believed in this miracle. Then they reviled him and said, "You are his disciples, but we are Moses' disciples. We know that God spoke to Moses. As for this fellow, we do not know where he is from." The man answered and said to them, this man is he's putting up a great argument. The man answered and said to them, "Why, this is a marvelous thing, that you do not know where he is from, yet he has opened my eyes. Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him. Since the world began, it has been unheard of that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. This man were not from God, he could do nothing." These Pharisees refused to believe in the power of God. And they kept asking the same question over and over. How did this happen to you? And he told them over and over. Finally, he said to them, "Do you want to be a disciple of Jesus? Is that the reason you're asking this?" That made them mad. This is a funny story. This really is. If you'd have been there, you'd have thought, man, this is a sitcom going on right in front of your eyes. These stupid Pharisees, these people who are religious, they couldn't even comprehend the power of Jesus Christ, and they wanted to make excuses. Let's look at Acts chapter 3, verse 2 through 7. "And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms from those who entered the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked for alms. And fixing his eyes on him with John, Peter said, 'Look at us.' So he gave them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, 'Silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk.' And he took him by the right hand, lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength." Hallelujah. I liked what Betty had on the screen this morning about faith. It's not just believing. Faith is an action. Action. In every one of these situations, a person had to do something. And the miracle took place. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 through 25. "Now it happened on a certain day, as he was teaching, that there were Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting by, who had come out of every town of Galilee, Judah, and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was present to heal them. Then behold, men brought on a bed a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the housetop and left him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst of before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, 'Man, your sins are forgiven you.' And the scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, 'Who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?' But when Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered and said to them, 'Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier, to say, "Your sins are forgiven you," or to say, 'Rise up and walk'? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins," he said to the man who was paralyzed, "I say to you, arise, take up your bed, and go to your house." Immediately he rose up before them, took up what he had been lying on, and departed to his own house, glorifying God. Luke chapter 8, verse 40 through 55. "So it was when Jesus returned that the multitude welcomed him, for they were all waiting for him. And behold, there was a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house. For he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, spent all of her money on doctors. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we're just doing everything we can to try to be healed. And I'm not against doctors. I don't want anybody to think that I am. But Jesus is the healer. Verse 44. Came from behind and touched the border of her garments, and immediately her flow of blood stopped. And Jesus said, "Who touched me?" When all denied it, Peter and those with him said, "Master, the multitude throng and press you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus said, "Somebody touched me, for I perceived power going out from me." Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and fell down before Jesus and declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he said to her, "Daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Go in peace." Your faith has made you well. We're going to pick up now in verse 49 through 55. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue house saying to him, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." When Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." Now listen, the report came, "Your daughter's dead." We all have heard those devastating reports. This is going to be the outcome. Look what they told Susie about calciphylactis. We've heard those reports before. We've heard devastating things about our family members. Devastating things about what's going on in our world. We've had the bad reports. But what does Jesus say? But when Jesus heard it, he answered him saying, "Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well." When he came into the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John, and the father and mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep, she is not dead, but sleeping." Now, just a little explanation here. These people were professional mourners. Whenever there was a death, they would go and mourn with the family. Wail. Oh, ah. But it was fake. It wasn't real. This is not my first rodeo with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've been in this thing for a long time. And being in the charismatic movement, I've seen a lot of fake. A lot of unreal. A lot of make-believe. We know this is fake because watch what happens here. Now all wept and mourned for her, but he said, "Do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping." And then all of a sudden, those who were mourning turned to ridiculing him and laughing at him. Silly, aren't they? They're fake. There's fakeness in the body of Christ. But the Word of God is real and alive. And it does heal. It does deliver. But he put them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." And her spirit returned. And she arose immediately and commanded that she be given something to eat. Only believe. Luke 13, 10 through 13. Now he was teaching in one of the synagogues on the Sabbath, and behold, there was a woman who had a spirit of infirmity 18 years and was bent over and could in no way arise herself up, could no way raise herself up. But when Jesus saw her, he called her to him and said to her, "Woman, you are loosed from your infirmity." And he laid his hands on her, and immediately she was made straight and glorified God. Matthew chapter 8, verse 5 through 10. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is laying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. So I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Only belief, if you can believe, and we can recognize the authority that is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the Word of God. Matthew 9, 27, 30. When Jesus departed from there, two blind men followed him, crying out and saying, Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he had come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, do you believe that I am able to do this? They said to him, yes, Lord. Then he touched their eyes, saying, according to your faith, let it be to you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus sternly warned them, saying, see that no one knows it. Matthew 21, 18 through 22. Now in the morning, as he returned to the city, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it but leaves, and said to it, let no fruit grow on you ever again. Immediately the fig tree withered away. And when the disciples saw it, they marveled, saying, how did the fig tree wither away so soon? So Jesus answered and said to them, assuredly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you will not only do what it was done to the fig tree, but also if you say to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, it will be done. And whatever things you ask in prayer believing, you will receive. Mark chapter 10, verse 4, 46 through 52. Now they came to Jericho. As he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Then many warned him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. So Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. Then they called the blind man, saying to him, be of good cheer, arise, he is calling you. And throwing aside his garment, he rose and came to Jesus. So Jesus answered and said to him, what do you want me to do for you? The blind man said to him, Rabboni, that I may receive my sight. Then Jesus said to him, go your way, your faith has made you well. And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the road. Luke chapter 17, verse 5 and 6. And the apostles said to Jesus, increase our faith. So the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. Acts 14, 8 through 10. In Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking, Paul observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 through 20. And Jesus came and spake to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I command you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 18. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it by no means will hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Matthew 10:1. And when he had called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. John 14:12. Most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. James 5:14. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. That concludes all those scriptures. I would say to you this morning, as I was reading this scripture, I want you to understand there is no right and wrong way to pray for people for healing. Jesus did it in numerous ways. And then he told us as the church, call the elders. That's one way we anoint people with oil and believe in healing power. We lay hands on the sick and they will recover. We believe in the Word of God and we trust the Word. I shared the Word with you this morning because I want to pray. I want us to pray for those, for anyone who is sick physically, emotionally, spiritually. If you feel like you need prayer this morning, I want you to concentrate. I want you to be thinking about those scriptures that I shared with you because they build faith. Faith comes by hearing this word. And if the word of God is alive today to touch you, to heal you. If you're watching this at home, I want you to know, I'm going to pray for the people at home first. Watching, because I want everyone to know that the healing power of Jesus Christ is not confined to a building where we are right now. The healing power of Jesus Christ is so great that it transcends space and time. And when we speak the word of God and you believe it, when you believe those things that were read this morning, when you grasp them, you hold on to them, and you trust them, God wants to heal you right where you are. Amen. So I'm going to pray for people at home. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, whatever the need is, emotional, spiritual, physical healing, Father God, we pray this in the name of Jesus. I have no power, Father God. I'm not a healer. But I have Holy Spirit living inside of me. I don't need to touch people, Father God. Your word is powerful enough. And I thank you that your word goes forth right now in the name of Jesus to touch people who are hearing this message this morning, hearing your word spoken. And they've put their faith in that word. They've grabbed hold of all these scriptures or one of these scriptures this morning, Father God, and said, that's for me. And because of that, in the name of Jesus Christ, they are healed and they are delivered and they receive from you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'd like to have prayer, I'm going to ask you to come up. Pastor Eddie, will you come up, help us out this morning?
If you're coming up, something I've thought about all week was something that Haley said last week at service. And if you're coming up for prayer, she stood over here and she said she was thinking about the Holy Spirit. And she said he's not vertical. The Holy Spirit is horizontal. He's right here where we are. The Holy Spirit is right here. Jesus is right here. Father God's right here. It's not, you're not reaching way up here for him. I love that, and I've thought about that all week. So if you're up here for prayer, think about that. The Holy Spirit is right here, right now with you, okay? And with me and with Pastor and with Miss Tammy. The Holy Spirit, Jesus, Father God, he's right here. So when Pastor talked this morning about faith, and sometimes it's your faith, sometimes it's the person praying for you faith, Think about the Holy Spirit on the inside and try to tap deep down in and work with your faith, with that Holy Spirit inside of you, and work at that faith, because the Holy Spirit is right here with you right now. So we're going to figure out how we can just tap into that and allow the Holy Spirit to heal us. Amen.
We're going to go along and pray for each of you. And you're just going to apply your faith. We don't need to know why you're up here. It doesn't matter. What matters is that between you and God, we're going to lay hands on you in the name of Jesus. We're going to trust that God hears, answers, and is going to answer our prayer. And your faith, you know, you've stepped out. You've come forward. So your faith is being coupled with our faith this morning. My faith is in the Word of God and all the Scripture that we read this morning. Your faith has been stirred because of the Scripture. Oh, yeah. And we're going to trust God. Let's just pray right now. Hallelujah, God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Glory.
Hello, this is Pastor Rob again. I pray you enjoyed this podcast. What a blessing it has been to have you join us on this social media platform. If you would like more information about Bethel, please check out our website at bethelchurch.community. You can also follow us on our Facebook page at Bethel Church, Tepper's Plains. Have a blessed day, and remember, love never fails.